We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Nerd talk, talking about nerd talk, yeah! Hey, what up? Welcome to Nerd Talk Plus, our weekly deeper dive into the stories that make this world nerdier. I host a radio segment called Nerd Talk. I'm Gregor, and now we're online going extra long.
Wow.
He's Brandon. He used to work at Odyssey, making jokes on Twitter now is what he does, and he does this for free. Hi, Brandon.
I don't know how much longer I'll be making jokes on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, right? You'll be banned from it unless they're at the expense of...
No, we have an entire segment of the show called Billionaires and Bad Guys, and now one of those billionaire bad guys bought Twitter.
God, dude. My wife hit me up this morning to be like, you still going to use Twitter or what? And I was like, well, it would be an emotional reaction to say that I'm not going to. Sure. And so let's see how it pans out, because it is how I get the main source of attention seeking taken care of. So
the other thing that I'm thinking about is, oh, because now this billionaire is all of a sudden bad. Don't forget about all of the other people who own all of the other social media platforms. And do you still drive cars? It's like, yes, I use oil. I am supporting very bad people by doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, congratulations, dude. Yeah. Hey, neither of us is a scientist, engineer, or supervillain.
Yet.
But if you are, Elon, let us know what we get wrong. Or perhaps even once in a while, what we get right.
Yeah.
If you could do us a favor and tell a friend or spread the word, just whatever. You see social media posts? Right. Just go ahead and share that. Or if you are on Apple Podcasts and you find Gregor's Nerd Talk Plus, if you give us a review, 5 stars, we'd be really grateful for that.
You can find all of this at nerdtalkplus.com. Because now we have a website.
My man.
You can also find our OnlyFans there.
It is nipply, let me tell you.
You know how, so OnlyFans got its start as a way for people who did like podcasts or radio show or like whatever it was to be able to get people to pay them for their content that they were making. Like, you get paid for this because you're a professional. I don't get paid for this because I'm me. And so slowly or quickly drifted into just paying people for feet pics and whatever. Sorry.
What was that noise? He's like, let me drink some more seltzer to get that burp down.
No, it's not a burp. It's a itch in my throat.
Yeah.
Anyway, so then it like quickly drifted into paying, you know, people for feet pics and pictures of their boobies and stuff. But like sometimes I wonder, could we actually just start OnlyFans and you know, be the one, well, not the only, but just a couple of nerds in a sea of porn collecting money.
I'm in, man.
Yeah, great.
For a minute, this other podcast I listened to, I won't say the name because they're terrible and I don't want people to find it and have it be a reflection on me, but they for a while had a OnlyFans partnership that they were doing, and it was like right early in the pandemic before everyone figured out that it, instead of being a Patreon, it was going to be a porn site. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, they were like, okay, we'll do this. And so they started an account and they did like 3 months of advertising for it, but they just put up like content of them podcasting, and it was like... very apparent very quickly that was not that more feet or boobs. Gentlemen.
I mean, we can, if we need to, we can put feet pics up there too. I just don't think anybody's trying to see that.
This is totally unrelated to feet pics, unless you want a really, really close up view of them, I suppose. But no, I'm going to skip that too. I was going to talk about scientists. I just had a thought, and I don't want it to escape me.
Yeah.
Do you see that the CERN, the particle accelerator?
Accelerator.
The particle accelerator in Europe that goes between France and Switzerland, underground, it crosses the border. It's crazy. Yeah. It's so big. It got restarted today and will now go on a conquest, or on Friday, I suppose. It got restarted, and now it's going to go on a 4-year mission of doing all kinds of science and stuff. And so finally we can get back to worrying about whether or not it's going to create dark matter on Earth and tear open a rift in our space-time continuum.
Yeah. Hey. Sweet. That's... I have this, I've talked about on this show many mm-hmm. times about some irrational fears that I have. Like one is that we live near a volcano, and I'm always concerned that that volcano is just going to one day just be like, all right, here we go, popping this pimple and like destroy half of our state. The other thing that I'm always concerned about is like I can't watch a lot of like post-apocalyptic or apocalyptic movies. Like Armageddon's probably the best I can get because I know how it ends. But like asteroids, you know, nothing
never
we can do
it.
About that. I feel like you've never seen any movie. but like asteroids are always something that I'm like, look, if it happens, we're pretty much just boned, right? Like there's not much we're going to do there. We're all worried about, you know, all of the things on Earth that we're warring over and fighting over and arguing about on Twitter, RIP. all of these things that we're talking about, I'm like, if an asteroid is just going to come and just be like, sucks to suck, bro, and like ruin it all. So you know, we're like sitting here creating this large Hadron Collider, right, in order to create dark matter, do all of these things that we're going
to
do.
what it does is it accelerates particles and smashes them into each other to see what happens. Yeah. Other times where we have smashed or ripped particles apart, it has created nuclear fission or fusion or whatever, and it becomes effectively a sun on Earth.
And so now I get another thing to existentially worry about.
Let me put one of your worries to bed, Brandon. Okay, and I appreciate your thought here about how like this is self-inflicted. Yeah. This is an unforced error in tennis.
Why are we just doing this science to build a big, shield or something like that around the planet? You know, I mean,
we'll get to that here in a second because that's a breakthrough that's coming. But I saw a headline today, just a quick Google here. I'm reading at spacenews.com. China is going to aim to alter the orbit of a potentially threatening asteroid with a kinetic impactor test as plans for planetary defense system. So China looks like they're going to start looking out for everyone's interest by, as if we were the dinosaurs and the asteroid is coming, by smashing something into something. And I always, this is like my favorite type of combat, like just smash something into something else and see what happens and to see if we can, what it'll do.
Okay. I mean, I get it. Good for China in this case, because it's hard to control an economy and possibly, you know, enslave people if all of those people are dead from an asteroid.
I'm not supposed to laugh at an enslavement joke, but the idea being that it's going to be hard for Xi Jinping to carry out his master plan if there's no one to carry it out over.
Exactly. The other thing is that my main concern is, like, I know that what you're trying to do is dissuade my fears, but because of the anxious brain that I get to have because I had a coffee afternoon,
I forgot to drink coffee. Damn it.
Oh no, it's good. All I can think about is it's going to be like that. It's going to be like me basically anytime I try to play soccer, which is like kick the soccer ball and then it like bounces off of the post and back into myself. Right. Like China, like this asteroid probably is not going to collide with Earth, but like whatever China does is definitely going to make it collide with Earth, you know.
It wasn't gonna hit us, but then the humans got involved.
We had to try.
Hey, I want to know something about common experience.
Yeah,
have you ever been hit in the face with a soccer ball or other object like that
yeah, so many
didn't
times.
See it coming? Right. Same sensation as when you jump into a pool and you get chlorine up your nose.
No.
That's what I experience. Like, take a soccer ball off the face, and I'm like, it's like the same rush that.
Maybe it, like, hit you in the sinus or something. Like, maybe it hit you in that perfect spot, which your sinuses actually take up a lot of your face.
Wait, hold on. Is that why I've had sinus problems my entire life? Could this legitimately be it, that I just took one too many soccer blasts
right to the face?
Yeah,
possibly.
I was choosing my words carefully, Brandon. Thank you.
I wasn't.
We're not even to the Uranus part of this program yet, so. So, speaking of scientists needing to do something to protect the Earth, some wacky NASA scientists are looking into launching solar shades into orbit that'll cast shadows on Earth, Earth-based telescopes, in hopes of getting better views into planets beyond our own solar system. If we're going to study the exoplanets, is what they're called, and we want to do it without having to build a bunch of $10 billion space telescopes, one way to do it is with existing infrastructure and just creating a dark spot over them so they can see better, blocking out starlight. I feel like there's a whole Simpsons movie that was like there was a premise of this where Mr. Burns covered up the city with a thing but it seems very human to then take a twist on this, and instead of cleaning up our own behavior, like, say, global warming, we, like, instead just do the more Band-Aid procedure and, like, you know, like, well, I'm not up for election after 4 more years, so we'll just do the thing that makes me look good now.
Yeah.
Like a temporary solution for someone else to worry about later. And just use this to build a giant umbrella that we shoot into space to cool things off a bit here. Like, ah, keep burning all of the gasoline you need, 700 neighbors with giant trucks that rev them right by my house every day, because we're going to cool things down artificially.
Yeah. It kind of seems like this is the science equivalent of doing what I did as a kid, which was like just kind of move my stuff around on the plate a little bit to make it look like I was done, you know?
Yeah,
it's like I'm not actually eating, I'm not actually fixing the problem, but I've made it look like I've fixed the problem, you know, but that food is still gonna be what my dad makes me eat for breakfast tomorrow. And in this case, dude, cold spaghetti, vomit on my sweater already. That's not how the song goes, but I do feel like we talk about this a lot on this show, is that instead of coming up with solutions to the original problem, we come up with solutions to the problems that we created, which then we have to come up with a solution for when that thing doesn't go exactly how we planned.
So we have so little experience, humanity, of having to worry about anything other than getting eaten by a Tyrannosaurus or whatever. Like, you know, it was only several thousand years ago where we got the ability to, like, let's create a culture or whatever, like, let's get enough people together that we don't murder each other and we live in we still murder each other, of course, but like not mass murder each other,
so
we can build
a
city. They used to be carved from stone. Ding 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 ding.
Oh yeah.
Whoa.
Baby.
Do paper, like a papyrus rub over the top of it, like they would do on like the Rosetta Stone, like, oh yeah,
Stonely fans.
But like forever our big concern was like not killing each other, and then suddenly like it's hard for people to think about like anything beyond their own lifespan. Like, well, nah, but I mean, I gotta be done by the time Super Bowl starts. Like, I can't, what are you talking about? I got things to do.
Well, think about like my house that I live in was built over 100 years ago, and I was thinking about this actually just yesterday, because when we did some renovations in the basement, they had to clean out a bunch of pipes, and then those pipes had a bunch of issues because they're 100 years old.
Yeah.
Now, when they put those pipes in, they weren't thinking, oh gosh, what are the people living here in 100 years going to be dealing with? But then you massively like scale that out to entire neighborhoods, entire cities, where you're running water, like everybody in a hot place is running their sprinkler system, right? Like, as a society, you're right. Like, we used to just be worried about what animal's going to eat us, and now we have to worry about like how much water. Like, oh, me individually, like,
how are we going to get to poop out of here?
Yeah, if I don't water my, I think we just launch it and build a sunshade out of it. Oh, what's that? That's a poop shade. But like, we didn't have to think about like, oh, if we divert this water source to, you know, hundreds of thousands of homes in this town, how is that going to then like affect our greater, you know, like scale of our ecosystem down the road in 100, 200, 300 years? Like, existentially, we didn't have to think about that, because we just had to think about like, is this baby crying in my cave going to make a bear want to come in here and eat us?
Yeah, I got to hump it out so we can get some more kids to make sure that the fields are plowed, right, so that way we eat.
And we're talking within the last 200 years, realistically, that we started to really figure this stuff out as far as like building cities, towns, things like that. Now, we're not talking about like space anymore and like sending a starshade into the sky in order to make our telescopes. But like, instead of just telling everybody like, hey, use less power so that we get more darkness so that this telescope, it's like, no, we have to build a parachute or like a kite that we put into the sky so that we can, you know, make artificial darkness on Earth.
Hashtag defund NASA becomes a thing then, and you're like, we can't even fix the problem like a Band-Aid or the other way. Like, we're just going to have to cook our way off the Earth.
That's, maybe Elon will buy NASA.
Maybe pull down your pants. We're sending a probe to Uranus, labeled as a top priority by the space science community, says a headline at TheVerge.com. We're going to do it.
A bottom priority, but yeah.
When we find signs of alien life there and we're finally going to probe them back, it's justice for Farmer Dave down the street.
Take that.
I swear it happened 3 summers in a row.
I like the idea that like our revenge on the aliens isn't, you know, like doing what colonizers do, which is like sharing our diseases with them and hoping that they spread them and die. It's no, we're going for the butt.
And we're making a Stonely fans out of it.
Maybe that's what we got to do. We just need to introduce them our culture, and then they'll eventually go down the path that we've gone, which is terrible.
But on a subscription model, definitely,
obviously. Yeah. So like, why are we going to Uranus?
Well, first of all, I'll say it correctly now. I keep trying to convince my kid to say it this way, too, because he doesn't know that he's being hilarious. But Uranus is, first of all, this is a fun fact about Uranus. It's the second to last planet from the core. And it, at some point in its life, had some sort of catastrophic event where it smashed into something else, they think. And it actually flipped 90 degrees onto its side. And because it had so much gravitational inertia or something like that, it looks like it took a ring of moons with it. So the whole system that is Uranus turned on its side, which is pretty wild. According to TheVerge.com, the new report compiled by planetary scientists that's sending an extra blah, blah, blah. They want to go the Uranus orbiter and probe, and they want to go out there and check out some of the moons out there and check out the planet's atmosphere. So now, once you get past, like, once you get to about Jupiter, there's no longer water ice available because it becomes too cold to be able to even sustain H2O out there, I guess. I don't know how this works at all. But there's, like, a line there that's just past the asteroid belt that you can no longer do that. So the type of stuff that we would find out there isn't necessarily water ice, at least on the surface. It would be something else, but it could then be turned into fuels to search beyond our solar system or to understand how the whole thing formed. And, again, this is, like, a long-term type thinking where, like, you know, we can't stop each other from, you know, talking crap to each other on the internet or from
nuking street each other,
or street racing one another. Yeah. We can't stop these simple problems. Going to Uranus seems like a big stretch, but hey,
okay,
I'm in.
you're in for the Uranus stretch. Okay, now
big stretch.
my as you're saying all of this stuff that's smart and the reason that we're doing it, all I can think about is some NASA scientist who gets to put on his Tinder profile that he is researching Uranus probe.
Just trying to make a pretty sweet UOB, everybody.
Are you an alien? Because I'm trying to get it in.
Yeah, I just can't resist. I like will always be a Neanderthal when it comes to making Uranus jokes. So like, I couldn't even my boss is like, listen, the dick and fart humor is like below us. He hasn't had to stop me from doing it, but even then, I see the Uranus jokes I'm like, yeah, this is happening. Yeah. We're
shout
going
outs.
For it.
Shout outs to your boss right now.
What's up, dummy?
The thing about the fact that the planet is named what it's named makes me think that you ever do this where like there's something that you can be doing that you realize will last for a lot, like beyond your own lifetime, right?
It's like the Michael Scott episode or the Office episode where Michael Scott's going to put his face into the cement and he has to figure out what he's going to do,
right?
Like, because it's drying. Quick! I got to come up with something that's going to last forever.
Yeah.
I'm going to name it after the poop part of the body.
So kind of like that. It's like how can you prank the future by doing something funny? Like we've talked about on this show before. I found a gun in my house when we were doing that same remodel in the basement.
Did you put anything into the walls when you guys remodeled?
Well, that's what I'm thinking. I didn't, and I should have because I feel
you
should have
put some like crazy dildo in there or something like that. That's like totally inappropriate. And like
he's just remodeling. It's like what? But that's so basically, I think a crazy dildo.
Is it too late?
A crazy dildo in the wall is the equivalent of the guy who named Uranus, however long ago. He was like,
what's
there's
this
no
QR
point
code?
Here. Yeah, there's no point here.
Oh,
but
it's
in
a free
the future,
video on OnlyFans.
it's just a guy with his feet being carved. I don't get it.
I want to say something, but it's just going to expose me as being a creep. So I'm just going to not. I'm just going to move on. Off air, I'll tell you a funny. Okay. which way do you want to go, buddy? Do you want to go?
I want to go toward a gorilla.
Okay, great. A gorilla at the Lincoln Park Zoo in Chicago is having his screen time cut. Too much TikTok, my man. I get it. My screen time on the app comes up every week, and I'm like, oh, TikTok, you're killing me, bro. Anyway, Amare, the Eastern Lowland gorilla, is obsessed with visitors taking selfies. He loves seeing himself in the screen of people holding up their phones, right? And
I thought he was spending too much time on monkey fans.
Stonely fans. He's not he's recognizing that the lady with taking the duck-faced selfie photos isn't the only influencer out there. He also enjoys watching YouTube, and I don't know how people hear about this, but then they start showing him things.
Yeah.
And I mean, who doesn't want to sit down for some YouTube and get lost into that, right?
Right.
But the bigger problem is that he's so distracted by the glow of these screens that he failed to see another gorilla moving in to attack him for dominance. And, like, you're already keeping him confined in this, like, tiny little space to take away his natural instincts to protect himself. It's pretty weak, dude.
How much of the time that we've spent online, now that I'm thinking about it, is keeping us, like... Like, now I'm just going to be constantly looking over my shoulder, hoping that nobody's coming in to attack me for dominance. Like, my son right now is napping upstairs, and if I am spending too much time talking to you on here, what's going to happen? Like, I'm not going to know that he's coming at me with a shank.
He's got his, like, passy sharpened up. Yeah. He's ready to go, bro.
This is my house now.
It's just me and mom. me and the boobs, that's it, dude.
It's a very Oedipus.
So the question is, what then? Sorry?
No, I mean, like how is our screen time, what of our instincts are being changed or adapted or evolved?
Honestly, I got distracted by screen telling me that my kid is moving around in this room. That's what happened there. So you make a very valid point here.
Yeah.
I'm old enough to remember being a kid without the internet. And like at some point TV sucked so bad that you just went outside. And I don't, like, what did people do before like 1965? Like, did you just like... huff paint or something? Like, I don't understand what people...
Well, based on the fact that there's a bunch of lead paint disclosures in every sale that you have to make on a house built before 1978, I think maybe it wasn't 1965. It's 1978.
It explains some of the politicians these days, I guess, though. Yeah.
Now I'm just, like, wondering, did he just like watching any video on YouTube, or was there, like, a specific style? Like, he loved watching... Like, I like Totals Kid, right? Or, like, did he like watching, I don't know, like...
He's a big Twitch streamer. He just, like, loves watching people play 80s NES games.
Yeah.
It's like, this one guy with four fingers that can't beat Punch-Out is driving me crazy,
Brandon. Do you think people are just showing him, like, clips of Planet of the Apes? And, like, just trying to see how he reacts to that?
I wonder if they're showing him videos of himself, maybe.
Oh, maybe.
Because I'm sure there's plenty of them out there. If he's getting distracted enough by selfies, maybe they're showing him stuff. Yeah, anyway, he's got like a real screen time problem, and they're going to have to cut back his exposure to it by making a barricade that keeps people away from the glass. It happens that his favorite perch point is right by the glass, too, and so he sees people all the time. So they're going to have to change the exhibit until he displays different behavior, which is...
know how well barricades work for gorillas in zoos, so I'm sure that won't be a problem. R.I.P. Harambe.
Yeah, oh man. Bummer. And YouTube-related news, a YouTuber whose plane crashed while filming, crashed in, like, quotes or whatever, he could be in some serious trouble after the FAA determined that he crashed the plane on purpose. He's a former Olympian called Trevor Jacob, and he said he was on his way to spread his friend's ashes when the engine went out and he had to ditch the airplane into the side of a cliff in the mountains of California. The FAA noted that he didn't call for help, try to restart the engine, and the door was already open ahead of his parachute jump to safety. he basically immediately got called out, like, right away by everybody being like, this is fake, you're doing this for views. And it seems to have worked. What he's lost for certain out of this is his pilot's license. The FAA has uncertified him. Not sure yet if there will be any significant serious fine or whatever, but whoa.
There has to be, right?
I don't know if there has to be like a burden of proof or something like that, but like just breaking the rules of like the engine is out, call for help. That I could see them decertifying him for that, but
now this is what I'm thinking about. The fact that you and I right now are spending our real time, we both have children, we're spending our limited time on this earth doing this. This guy has already become an Olympian and decided that the best way for him to get attention was to really crash his plane, but like, you know, stage this accident in order to get views on YouTube. Like,
I saw someone being like, it's only a $75,000 plane. And I'm like, dude, what? I would kill for $75,000 anything right
Come
now.
Come on, man. Well, and now I guess all I'm trying to say is, like, are we going about this wrong? Like,
yeah, I know.
Should we be doing this?
Did you might notice a weird noise today on an all new Nerd Talk Plus. We're live from the scene of an airport. Uh-oh, the engine's going out. Help, oh no.
I don't have my pilot's license. I will get my pilot's license and then lose it. I don't. I'm gonna start right back at zero, right? Like I'm right back where I started. But maybe I'll have a bunch of views on YouTube, and I might be dead.
I forever wanted to learn how to fly, and then I went up in a small plane with a pilot, like an instructor.
Yeah.
Shout outs to Karate Craig, and we were flying around, and like when you suddenly lose about 20 feet of elevation, just like without explanation. Yeah.
It's not great in a plane, in a commercial jet, like let alone, I did one of those seaplane rides from, we went from, where'd we go from? Like Seattle to Victoria, and we did both directions. It was awesome. It was amazing. I had the pleasure, and, you know, I've already talked about my existential and...
on the pilot?
Yep, exactly. I had the pleasure of sitting in the front, the very front seat of this thing. And, of course, like, the dildo that I am is so worried about everything. I am looking at all of the gauges and stuff. I've never flown a plane, never sat in the front of a plane. And looking at everything and being like, oh, this looks bad. Should I tell her about this? Am I about to mansplain that I think that we should check on if we have enough gas in this plane before we get to Victoria? I obviously didn't say anything because I'd rather die than confront a person. But like, there is so much in a plane that can go wrong that she wasn't worried about. So I was like, all right, I'm just going to sit here and poop my pants for the next 2 hours while I fly to Canada.
Was it 2 hours?
I don't remember. It was something like
I
want to
do that.
Yeah, it was super fun. Absolutely do it. Better than, and the same company that did it. So it was better than taking the boat version of that, because as cool as that sounds to take it out on the open water and like take a big, you know, gigantic catamaran basically up to Canada, I've also heard that you just have to get so loaded up on Dramamine to make sure that you don't get seasick that it just kind of ruins the entire experience.
Oh, for real? Because my wife is tremendously motion sick in cars and stuff like that, and she's doing that trip in a couple months
on the boat.
Yeah, and she's like, I won't take the seaplane because I'll get too sick. Yeah,
no, dude. The reason that we took the seaplane was because we were warned about that, and the seaplane, like, yeah, there is a lot of motion in it still, like we talked about being in the 737 and having a drop of 20 feet in turbulence, like, still feels like a big bump. When you're in one of these tiny planes, it's still very, very crazy. Like, I mean, more crazy than that, obviously. Yeah,
because you're like, you realize that there's a sheet of aluminum between you and death, like, right outside. Right. It's nuts, dude.
Right.
To the point about the dials and stuff like that, riding around with this flight instructor, he's like, so this is this, and here's the redundancy for it, and this is that, and here's the, oh, wait, hold on, flick, 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 like, trying to make the thing work, you know? And he's like, ah, it's okay, we got a backup. And then he just keeps going, and I'm like, this is not okay.
Do you think
I'm not
that's
okay
one
with
of those things,
of this?
Like, again, pranking people, like, do you think that that's one of those things that you just be like, oh, it's working fine, but I'm gonna...
I don't. So there was a kid that worked at the airport, like, lots of times, like, to get the flight time or whatever, you work at the airport up at Painfield. There was a kid that was working there, and he was a listener, and he knew I was coming up. So he was like, hey, can I come along? And, yeah, sure, sure. So I'm like 20-year-old kid or whatever. And so he's up there with us, and he's just watching me every time something happens. And, like, I just hear him go, ha, every time the guy, like, you know, he's not being mean about it, but he can do the math on see my brain processing through the problem and the panic that's going into my head, and then him being like, this is funny. Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway, okay, so now the robot dogs are patrolling the locked-in-time ancient city of Pompeii. Oh, good. They've employed one of these headless robot machines. If you don't remember, it was because you weren't there, obviously. Pompeii is buried and preserved in volcanic ash from when Mount Vesuvius exploded a gajillion years ago.
Yeah.
Now, to keep people from doing typically human things like desecrating sacred sites, they're adding a patrol bot dog to the area and a flying drone to survey both to see what people have done and to try and deter people from doing things. So we're now just in full-on robot security mode to protect historic sites or whatever.
I guess I didn't realize I've never been to Pompeii. Definitely wasn't there when Mount Vesuvius exploded, so thank you for that. I guess I didn't realize it makes sense that, you know, it exploded, all of the people died, blah, blah, blah. A lot of things got kind of stuck in place from the way that the ash and all of that had fallen.
Was it Vesuvius? Is that what it was?
I think so, yeah. It was Mount Vesuvius. Now, what I was a little bit... I guess what I didn't understand or didn't realize, but it makes a lot of sense, is that you wouldn't be allowed to just, like, all willy... It's probably like a national park, right? You're, like, you're not just, like, allowed to willy-nilly walk through all of these, like, statues of people frozen in time or, like, whatever it is, right? But... So I guess that makes a lot of sense, because is Pompeii in Italy? Is that where it's at?
Mm. Yeah, it's near Naples or Sorrento.
Yeah. So were they just like, oh... Shoot, yeah, sweet, instant museum. Like, awesome. Like, this, I mean, not awesome, obviously, but like...
Oh, here's a mother that's covering her child so they don't both die, they're both dead. Like,
we should
cool.
charge $5 for this. But, like, I mean, I guess that makes sense. Now, I wish that we didn't have to patrol it with the rope. Like, I'm just imagining, like, hiking through Mount Rainier National Park, and then all of a sudden, like, Robo-Dog jumps out and is like... You good? Like, yes, thank you, RoboDog.
Bark, bark.
Bark, bark. I am wild animal. Bark. Move along. Fear for your life, caveman. Yeah. Bark, bark.
So I guess Vesuvius exploded not just in 1944. That was before that. In 79 AD is when Pompeii was buried by the eruption of Mount Vesuvius. So... it says that if you want to visit, it can take a 2-hour tour and 2 to 3 hours on your own to properly investigate the whole thing. So I could see why you'd need a drone to fly the perimeter if you were going to, or the whole premises rather, if you were going to make a visit or whatever.
Yeah, I just, like, there's this, now there's just the vision in my mind of, like, being in a national park or being in one of these, like, historic places and just having it buzzing with drones. So there's this new football league that's, like, trying, I don't know if they're trying to challenge the NFL or whatever, but it's another professional American football league, right?
Sure,
and
whatever.
And they're trying to do all of these different things with broadcasts to give themselves a name and to, like, make a name. Anyway, one of the
now
things...
Now, 9D!
Right, exactly, right. Now in the multiverse. But one of the things that they're doing is, like, they are using drones with cameras on them in order to, like, they're like, things that you would never see in other professional leagues, right? They just haven't started them yet. But they'll, like, fly behind the play with a drone. But then when you watch it, you can hear this, like, faint, not even faint, it's this, like, loud... humming the entire time, because these drones have to spin their rotor so quickly, and there's four of them typically, or even more, so quickly in order to be able to stay aloft. So you have these mostly empty stadiums with these incredibly loud drone cameras, and it's like, instead of using the audio from another camera somewhere else, they're still using the audio from the camera that's on the drone. And so it just made me think of, like, walking through a national park or something and just always in this distance. Talk about, you know, the light that we now have to drown out so that our telescopes can see into deep space. Yeah. Now you have to drown out the in the background when you're just trying to, like, take a pretty selfie with a gorilla that you found in Mount Rainier National Park somehow.
I say you combine the two and you make, like, players for each team that are drones.
Yes.
And if the quarterback can, like, knock the drone down from, you know, 50 yards or whatever, like, that's worth some points or something.
Dude,
like that.
Robo-Dog.
Perfect. On defense.
He Air can Bud. Jump up and grab. It's Air Bud. It's Robo Air Bud. It's the only way that.
Yeah.
Golden Retrievers
imagine
are
you
dumb.
Have like, you have like drone nerds with the goggles on the sidelines, and they're like controlling the wide receivers, and then like the other side is controlling the Robo Dogs to go and. See,
this just gets us back to like what we've talked about. We're just reverse engineering things that we've already like people that are talking about these Ubers that, you know, they follow a pre-planned route every day, and you can get on and off wherever you want. It's like, that's a bus. We've done that. We've done buses before. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, but now you have to pay a subscription for it. It's like, yeah, that's a bus pass. I get it. Like, we know what these are. Yeah, but now it's a Tesla. It's like, okay, all right.
But, Brandon, the thing that you're not addressing is how it's perceived, though, is that bus is for the poor, and scheduled Uber is for the elites. So.
Right, obviously. But at the same way, we're just recreating battle bots at this point in this new football league that we're talking about.
Hey, you know what a letdown? BattleBots was like so awesome, and I know the work that goes into making the BattleBots robots, but there was never anything like any actual super cool smashing.
Right.
Like, there was never like a hammer that hit and then like pieces went everywhere.
Yeah.
It almost feels like they need to be made out of like weaker materials and then like with like explosives in them. So they get hit wrong or something like that. They're like,
angry bird style. It's like if you hit the TNT in the right spot, the whole thing explodes. It's like everybody should have a weak point. And it should be like, you know, all of the professional racing that you know, NASCAR, F1, like even bike racing, there's a lot of standards about, you know, every bike has to, you know, use the same materials for the most, every car has to be built basically the same way. There's variants, but they still have to be built basically the same way. It's like, you could ensure a very entertaining bout if you said like, look, you can be as creative as you want, but it has to be made out of, you know, aluminum or whatever.
Eggshells.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. See, now we're talking because it was always like there was all this hype around it. And then it was always kind of like, well,
yeah,
I guess, whatever. Okay, well, let's end on a little bit of a happier note, I suppose. The UK has passed new rules that will allow you to watch TV while your car autopilots you where you're going. Now, there's not a lot of specifics yet. This is going to be huge for a lot of us because that's like 20 to 60 minutes of TV each way on your commute or whatever for a lot of people. There are no cars that are legally allowed to drive with autopilot yet, but people figure out how to unlock the Tesla ones, it seems like, from time to time. And it's like, it's out there. It's just not allowable yet.
Yeah.
But once that gets switched on, once we get to level 4 or whatever it is, you'll be able to, at least in the UK, be able to actually watch your Netflix or whatever it is that you do and keep up with your entertainment. Or in my case, I would like want to go to sleep because I don't get enough rest. So if I could just like curl up, if I don't have to pilot the car at all, just make it super comfy or like a mobile bathtub or something like that for my wife to be able to relax on her way home. Man, this is a lot of sloshing, but
you could like play FIFA, you could like sit in the back and like play your video games, or I don't know. I mean, we all know what most people are going to do.
We know.
Yeah, we all know. Okay.
I'm going to start an auto tenting business where it's like hit the auto tent.
Yeah. I feel like it's interesting that they're already like approving these things without the car itself being approved. It's like we've approved, you know, nuclear bullets, but there's not a gun yet that can shoot a nuclear bullet, so there's no danger in approving that thing.
Well, there's no legal gun that can shoot it, at least.
Yeah. Well, same thing, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I think that maybe it's, I could read more, obviously, if I wanted to, but maybe it's a idea that, like, if you start saying what the rules are going to be, then people can start developing to them. Mm. And so if you say, like, yeah, we're going to allow that, then they can be like, oh, cool, so we're going to make cars with a focus on screens.
So rather,
or how do we make a windshield that can be an actual both screen and windshield so you can watch your show?
Well, it's like rather than building an entire city and running water pipes to all of them, you mean that they're actually putting some forethought into how they develop these things?
It really truly is. Every time I think about stoners being like pontificating about nonsense or whatever, I always think about plumbing being the most incredible thing, because
I mean, it's like, listen, the invention of like they say it's like one of the most consequential inventions to like society ever.
Yeah, because you started to figure out how to get disease away from the people.
Right.
When you got us away from our own waste, then suddenly we could live a lot longer and be a lot less diseased.
Yeah.
Or if you could, you know, if you could have, if you could bathe and get the bacteria, the bad bacteria away. Yeah, like, you're right. It's of the highest consequence, which I think is cool.
Right.
Anyway, I look forward to being able to, my car will already sort of drive me.
Yeah.
With the lane assist and the adaptive cruise control, it's not enough to be able to like do things on my phone without scaring the bejesus out of myself.
Yeah.
But like on that stretch of I-5 that I'm driving home, I can like, I get that it's not the safest method and people shouldn't do this, but like if I'm like, what's that? I don't pay the price for it nearly as much.
Right.
And so shout outs to Subaru, free plug. There you go.
Maybe you can just, what you can do, this is our opportunity right now, is crash it into a cliff while live streaming and jump out and parachute so we can get some more, get some more ears on this show.
Perfect. All right. Well, on that note, that brings us to the end of the program, and it's time for a feature called What Did You Learn This Week? After all, this is a very heady show. Brandon, you learned anything this week?
I learned that... I honestly learned that Uranus is 90 degrees askew because with all of its moons because of a crazy like collision that it had. Like honestly, I learned that and I have so many questions.
One of its I think it's actually Neptune. Yeah. Uranus is on its side. It's wild. So we got a set of planets that glow in the dark to hang from your ceiling for my kiddo, and we got him out and he was like, dude, Uranus isn't it's not on its side.
I thought you were going to have the opportunity to call your kid an idiot and be like, yeah, well, it's actually supposed to be this way. And he was actually calling you an idiot.
No, he was calling the toy maker an idiot.
Oh.
He was like, why didn't they make it the right way? And I was like, I don't know, but I figured out how to do it and hang it up so it's on its side. And he loves it. And he was like, you know what I think it is? I think it's because when they made this, Voyager 2 hadn't been there yet. I was like, you are 4. You are not supposed to know knowledge like that.
You're kidding.
I mean, he's also an idiot because he's wrong, but I mean, that thought process is just...
They did make this toy within the last year. Gregor, what did you learn this week?
Oh, man. Jeez. I feel like I did all the talking this week, so I feel like I kind of drove this thing around, but...
You know what I learned? I learned from a gorilla that I need to keep an eye over my shoulder for my 4-month-old.
Yeah, for the dominance, the battle for dominance in your house.
Yeah.
At what age do you think your child will be more dominant over you in your own home?
Oh,
that's
dude,
the question.
That's question of the week right there. At what age do you abdicate your dominance to your offspring?
You know what I learned this week, Brandon, was that if you want a lot of views, just... do something good enough that they can't fine you.
Yeah. Can't take my pilot's license if I don't have one.
Nerd talk, talking about nerd talk, yeah!
Join us Tuesdays live on the Odyssey app at 10 a.m. for Gregor's Nerd Talk Plus, and then always find the podcast version of it wherever you get your podcast, like the Odyssey app. What do you know?
Or like nerdtalkplus.com.
Yeah, nerdtalkplus.com. I always forget. Thanks, Brandon. Yeah. Appreciate that. All right, bye.
See ya.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.